We still have the phone line that you can call with your questions, and that phone line number is 360-215-7270. So if you'd like to join in the conversation with John Morrow here at KPTZ, that is the number to call, and I'm hoping that we have John right now on the line. Hi, John. Welcome to Bureaucracy Now and all of technical difficulties that we somehow seem to always get through one way or another.
We do. Absolutely. It's good to be here. Thanks, Tim.
Thank you. And thank you for coming. And it's been a week. A week is a month in Port Townsend. Before we take calls, let me know if there's anything that you would like to put out there to the audience.
Yeah, that's good. I think we're dueling with sort of dueling Zoom call-in URLs here. And so I've got a few people on my screen, and I know that I actually have another Zoom call that has other people on a different screen. So I'm just going to say at this point, if you could do what Tim just said, and if you can call in, I'm happy to keep you on the screen, but I have no way of hearing you. So if you could call in to the number that Tim has, we can take any questions that way. And Timber, maybe you can just repeat that call-in number.
The number is 360-215-7270. So when you call in, I will answer the phone and you will immediately be on the air with any question you may have of John. So again, 360-215-7270. But let's just get going here, John.
Yeah, sure.
We have a few questions that have been submitted to me to get us started. And a little confusing here. Yeah, lights going off everywhere. And this is about the city has done such a great job of accessibility with the city council meetings, making them available to everybody through Zoom that actually has been working and broadcast here on KPTZ. But the boards and commissions, I'm thinking of Planning Commission, perhaps. We have a variety of boards and commissions. You know a lot more about that than I do. What is the plan for getting them back up and running?
That's a good question, Tim. I'm texting our folks on the Zoom call with the call-in number. So there you go. Thanks, everybody. You'll see that in the chat if you could hear me, that you can call in. So boards and commissions, I'd also batch in council committees as well, because since the COVID pandemic has sort of taken hold, we've not only had to furlough 52 staff. I mean, that's a decision we made to flatten the financial curve alongside the epidemiological one. But that's meant we've had to prioritize which committees have airtime with limited staffing and actually the inability to gather in person and have public meetings. So we've prioritized the Finance and Budget Committee for obvious reasons, and City Council special meetings and workshop meetings and business meetings. And that's left us very little room to do much more than that. So a couple key advisory boards and commissions are up. That's including the Planning Commission. I know that we've also had one Transportation Committee meeting with the council members. And you'll see over the coming weeks us phasing things back. So I'm very delighted to have temporarily furloughed staff returning on Monday, who have been off for quite some weeks, and we're bringing folks back on the 13th, and that'll allow us to do things like host additional advisory board meetings. Around August, we'll turn some more of those advisory board meetings on, including, for instance, Parks Advisory Board. We've also, in the last couple of weeks, started getting a few up on, like the Historic Preservation Committee, mainly prioritizing committees that need to make decisions in the immediate term to keep things rolling. But it's my hope that in the couple months, we'll have everything back up as, I hesitate to use the word normal, but we'll have things back up and be able to deal with the pandemic and other issues with a full suite of committees.
Well, thank you for that. And normal is relative, isn't it? Let's take a call. All right. Hello, caller. Are you there? Oh, somebody gave up.
I like that the default, Tim, I have to say, you're unflappable. And I've got a phone and a Zoom meeting and a bunch of microphones in front of me. I could see you through the plexiglass, and you are just unflappable. So thank you. And you're like a metaphor for KPTZ and local radio.
Well, we make it work somehow, don't we, John? Yeah. And just like your job, which I suppose you have to be very quick on your feet, we do the same here. So, I'll keep going. And again, I'll put that number out. It's 360-215-7270. And if you're calling KPTZ, just stay on the line and I will put you through. So I did have another question, and this one concerned the future of Airbnbs here in Port Townsend. I know that there's been, especially with the issue of essential travel, that has, as I understand it, closed Airbnbs in the city limits. Am I right about that?
Yeah, there has been restrictions on movement, and therefore, yes, that was the case, and we can message that for the city and to those who have a secondary accommodation. I will also note that, you know, short-term rentals, for instance, in ADUs, is prohibited unless you have a permit, unless you've been part of the system for a while. So that's something that the city council's taken a stand on to deal more directly with affordable housing. So some of that doesn't apply.
So for those folks that do have an Airbnb and it is permitted, has the before, I'm going to hold that thought because sure. I'm more interested in getting these calls from the public, and let's see how this works. Hello, you're on the air.
Oh, I was just to get the show back.
Pardon me?
I was just trying to get the audio back.
Ah. Well, so, you are on the air, so.
My name is Carol McCreary, and I think that KPTZ is doing something really great to strengthen local democracy, which is a goal right now that's very important.
Oh, you know, I thank you so much for that. And that is a compliment to John, the city council, and the folks that keep these wheels rolling there. So, John, this is a compliment thrown to you and your colleagues.
I'll pitch it to the team and include KPTZ. And Carol, I know that you've been active in the community looking for solutions. So thank you and those you're working with.
Well, I've got you. I hope this will be a great regular thing. We'll come prepared. But it's just been great hearing your voice regularly on the radio, and I'm glad that the time calmed down. and is it going to be every other week now?
No, that's a good question. It looks at this point that it's every week, and notwithstanding Zoom troubles, we'll at least be on the air here. And ideally, those, I think, like yourself, I think I did see you in the Zoom call just momentarily. We'll be able to get that up as well.
That's not a problem. I just commend everybody for trying so hard. But carry on, and I always loved the report when you tell us what you think is important for us to know.
Well, thanks, Carol. Much appreciated.
And I'll second that thought, John. It's, you know, the difference here is that often when we are listening to you or the council speak, it's within the strictures of a city council meeting and Robert's Rules of Order.
Yeah.
Your objective is to let's have coffee and talk about it. And yeah. It works.
Well, look, I mean, that's a really good pivot. I mean, I think with the spirit of Carol's comment and Tim, you know, your commentary, I think it's a good chance. I think I might have said this last week, but I'll be honest yet again that we're really struggling with how to connect with people. I mean, I just love the evolution of KPTZ and saying, let's do call-ins, let's do Zoom, let's just try all sorts of new different things. And same with the city. We're really, really needing to do that. Tim, I could hold my comments if you want to take that call. Maybe...
Here we go. You're live on the air, KPTZ.
Oh, it's Carol again. I think I'll just go to live. I think I'll just go to stream the radio now.
There you go.
All right. Thanks, Carol.
So I guess, to Carol's point, we're trying to find new ways of engaging with everybody listening and those who don't either listen to KPTZ or don't usually get involved in local government.
You're live on KPTZ.
Hey, Tim. Sonny.
Well, hi, Sonny. You have a question for John?
I do, John. I know you spoke of cuts, or laying people off in the city. Now, the county, because I live out in the county, and walking near Larry Scott Trail, I noticed a lot of the maintenance on the trail. Mm-hmm. There hasn't been any. I mean, everything's kind of overgrowing a bit.
Sure.
I don't know what your role with that, with the county and the city. Yeah. Do you have any role with that on that? Or is that because of the cutbacks as well?
Yeah.
Delaying maintenance?
Yeah, no, I can't speak on behalf of the county, but seeing as though they're core partners for us and spend a lot of time with the county, as do my team, you know, we work with each other quite well from my perspective. And I could say a couple things. On maintenance, we're struggling with the same issue. And so those who, even today, saw some comments about some overgrowth, and we're getting it on the list, and we're getting out as quickly as we can to, you know, make sure we've got some of the vegetation management under control. The challenge is we've had a relatively wet period of time and the right amount of sunshine. And of course, it's about the longest day of the year. And we've also been hamstrung with no seasonal park staff and reduction in the overall maintenance staff. So from the city perspective, we've really struggled to keep up. And that's why starting Monday, I'm very excited to have our staff back so we can actually get to some of that. I'm going to guess that the county, we haven't laid anybody off at the city, just to be clear. We've temporarily furloughed them. So they all are coming back. I know it's a technicality, but luckily we haven't had to make that decision about permanent cuts. The county, I know, is staffed up, but also stretched the same way. We tend to work together where we do cover each other from on different sites. And your comment makes me think I've got another call almost daily with Philip Morley, the county administrative, this afternoon, and I'll make sure to bring it up with Philip and make sure that they understand that there are some concerns.
I know it's kind of a little lower on the totem pole, but I see the same thing happen at our home. I mean, I mow and take care of everything, but 2 days later, it's all overgrown again.
Yeah.
So I totally get it. I just thought I'd ask about
that. Oh, no, it's a good question. I was out last night, right a little too late, mowing my own berm on the side of the road myself. So totally get it. Just hang in there. We're going to try to prioritize and make sure that we get to as much as we can, as fast as we can. But
all you can do. Appreciate all the work you're doing.
And you bet.
Able to come on the radio and talk to the community.
Yeah, thanks so much for joining me. I look forward to getting coffee with you in person someday soon.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Well, that was Sonny Flores, and he's one of those people that working in the background who is a sound guy. And many of the forums, the candidates' debates that you hear aired on KPTZ, that kind of a democracy that goes out in the airwaves, is due to people like Sonny Flores that are out there twisting the knobs and doing that work. You know, I will always defer to a caller instead of having my questions answered, but I would like to follow up a little bit on the Airbnb question. Is that a result of the phase two limitations that we have, or is that something that is loosened with phase three?
So you'll see that loosened even with phase two. I think with a governor's order restricting for phase one, a whole host of things. I guess I sort of think about it that every phase is a slight increase in the ability to travel and actually stay. I mean, you could stay in a hotel, you could stay in a campground, you could now stay in an Airbnb. And we'll see that progressively increase, but concurrent with that. So yes, you can kind of go back to maybe not normal, but there's less prohibition on activities like Airbnbs and hotels and camping. However, that's concurrent with an increase in the responsibility that every single one of us takes in making sure that it's safe. So, you know, I've been really proud of this community and looking around and seeing such, just real, I don't want to say compliance, but it's almost, the ethos here isn't, oh, I have to do this. The ethos here seems to be, to me, that there's a real care for people wanting to protect their friends, their relatives, their neighbors, and people they don't know. Because I think as Tom Locke, our county health officer, has made very clear, wearing a mask, at least a cloth mask, offers relatively small amounts of personal protection, but it offers a great deal of protection for those who might come in contact with you if you're asymptomatic or symptomatic, by preventing those droplets from escaping. So, if we are all protecting each other, then effectively we're all protected ourselves. So I just want to really reinforce that you know, it's not a time to kind of let the guard down, because you know the cases are slightly increasing, but the behavior is changing rapidly, and I really want to offer a sense of appreciation and pride. And you know, you could see, for instance, our open streets conversation that we're having with the community, where we've allowed free permits for some use of public space on the sidewalk or on and parking, and people are out in restaurants again, supporting our local economy, our local businesses, our local workers, and able to do so because they're adopting this new behavior.
Well, since you opened that particular door, Open Streets Initiative, it's been something that's been on my mind. I was downtown on the 4th of July and noticed that we had parts of Tyler Street open with chairs and tables, and of course the other places, Adams. How is that going? What have been the hurdles? What has been the feedback to you on that particular initiative?
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't want to paint. I'm want to paint a rosy picture, because I think, honestly, the feedback has a vast majority been very, very positive. But I don't want that to drown out the concerns we've heard as well. Very important concerns like ADA access and making sure that some businesses that require very short-term trips need or really desire that parking right directly out front of their business. And, you know, we are not ignoring those concerns. And I know the team, and in particular Wendy Davis with the police team, and Steve King and Dave Peterson in Public Works, as well as PT Main Street, have really been listening to those concerns. And we've adjusted our approach, very much guided by those concerns. Now, as everyone knows, it's impossible to please everybody, particularly as you're making changes. And so we'll continue to consult and to engage. And I think, to me, the optimistic metric here is that we're seeing folks who initially say, oh my God, what are we doing here? With the right amount of engagement and the right information and a little bit of guts, they come along and say, actually, this is something that I can support, and I could see the potential benefits here. So I think it's to me, how you have that conversation, how you actively listen, how you consider people's specific needs, how you do your best to accommodate if you can. But also, that doesn't mean you don't have to be confident in saying, look, I mean, from where I sit, we could radically change how we use our public spaces for much more public benefit. And we're on that train, and it's my desire to keep moving in that direction.
Well, that's good to hear. It is, my personal opinion is I like the slow approach that has been taken. It's incremental, and it seems to be quite low impact, especially during this time. Mm-hmm. Although I'm sure reasonable minds would differ on that.
Yeah. I think, Tim, honestly, it's the kind of thing where pick your issue. You know, as I was saying before, we've got golf course, mill agreement, law enforcement, library plan, recovery, shoreline, sewer outfall, streets. We've got so many things to, and budget, of course, to get through this year. You know, we need to be able to take that kind of approach where we bring people with us. We have a much more informed conversation. We talk about what our ultimate vision is, and we agree that, you know, there's going to be some needed changes, but that we have a wider variety of voices instead of just a small group. And I know this community has both a lot of opinions, which is lovely, actually, and also a lot of energy to engage. And I think from the city's perspective, we need to do a better job at tapping that energy and actually encouraging and nurturing a productive conversation. Because on the other end of that is, not only do people trust the city more and we have a better working relationship with those we serve, but ideally, all residents and visitors will be getting more of what they want. So it's sort of in all our best interest to get this engagement a lot better than maybe be a shining example in this part of the world.
Oh, we all like that. We all like to be for Port Townsend to be in front, out front on on these issues. And yeah. and you've said that phrase before, sewer outfall, mill contract, streets mm-hmm. condition. Yep. It's almost a mantra. Does that run through your mind at night?
Well, I mean, it just happens to be that in the utility bill that goes out every month, I've noted the approach here and, you know, just needing robust community engagement, that it's important to me, it's important to my elected officials that I report to, and it's actually important for a fair democracy. So, I mean, that's always top of mind. It's one of the reasons why I wanted to take this job and that I saw the promise in this community. It's really hampered by, okay, we have a pandemic. We can't gather and draw things out together and have small table conversations or go for walks and look at infrastructure. It's requiring us to take a totally different approach. So we will take a different approach this year through sort of a one-stop shop, engage PT kind of approach. And it's really related to COVID and to dealing with how to get community input in the short term. But I'm hopeful that if we can get it right with enough community engagement and perhaps patient community members, something like this could last into future years because it'll simply be a better way of doing things.
And just to put this out there, we have 6 minutes left with John Morrow, and that phone number is 360-215-7270. So if you call in with your question, we'll go instantly online. Until then, I do have another question.
Oh, please.
Imagine that. The governor's no mask, no service mandate. I don't know how the city manager works with the city police department. And we're all subject to the social media incidents that are filmed of some type of craziness related to that. How has that been working in Port Townsend? Have you heard anything perhaps from the police department or local business owners that it's been difficult, easy?
Well, I mean, the mask mandate went into effect on the 7th, you know, and so that was 2 days ago. So I haven't heard directly from many on how it's going. I guess I'm on one hand, this is what we need to do. And as the governor has said, this is not an optional plan for businesses. It's a legal requirement. And so it's quite clear from that perspective. But I have a sense personally that this is a result of needing to ratchet up the clarity and as statewide. Locally, we've got a pretty good sense of mask compliance by both businesses and by customers of those businesses. And from where I sit, it looks like we're doing a pretty good job. Of course, we could be doing better. People need to change their behavior still. But by and large, as Tom Locke has said, if we achieve something like 80% or around 80% compliance, then we're doing a pretty major job protecting ourselves from transmission of the virus as a community. I get the sense that there are facets of our society that have chosen not to participate in protecting themselves and others, and that's required more state directive on that. I'd like to believe our community is a little bit different, that we don't need such a stick. We can see the logic of an approach, and I was lucky to be on a call today with a number of area CEOs and our state delegation. And I think, I forget if it was Mike Chapman or Steve Derringer who said it, but it basically said masking, you know, wearing a mask isn't a statement, it's common sense. And I think it's just a fantastic quote because this community understands that in order to protect ourselves and to do the things that we miss doing, including supporting our local businesses, you know, getting back to some of the activities we enjoy, that's going to be a necessary requirement. Now, if we have poor compliance and we're not doing a good job, then we need that ratcheted up, more enforcement-based, you know, legal requirement. But it's my belief we don't need that to go that direction yet. And I think education and friendly reminders are, you know, are important as part of this process. You know, we might need to just kind of recalibrate a little bit and make sure people understand what the recommendations are and what the requirements are and the distance that's required between tables, for instance. And we don't need to come in and make it a, you know, sort of a law enforcement issue. It might just be simply an education issue where people might not know exactly what the requirements are.
Well, in a perfect world, when we meet again next week, we won't be talking about a irrational meltdown at a local business. I have a phone call.
Yep.
Here we go.
Okay.
Hello, you're on the air, KPTZ.
Hi, Tim. It's Taylor. I promised I'd call in with a question.
Well, hi, Taylor. Hi, Taylor.
Okay, so, hi, John. So what I wanted to ask was about both downtown and uptown parking. And this is an area where there's been a lot of heat and light in the history of Port Townsend and discussion about what we should do and what we might do. And I think somebody even on the next door said we should build a parking garage, which made me laugh and laugh and laugh. But I guess, you know, with the COVID stuff, there hasn't been as much pressure on parking, and it's maybe a chance to hit the reset button. And you mentioned something called the Open Streets Initiative, which I don't know much about. But I guess my question would be, what do you see as the next steps in looking at downtown parking and uptown parking?
And you have about a minute and 15 seconds, Sean.
Oh, goodness. Well, Taylor, I will not do justice to your question. I'll talk a little quickly. Thank you for that. I think that's one of the things that we haven't gotten right. And again, same thing with perhaps the pandemic. There might be some information that we need to start airing with the community about the availability of parking supply and the tools that we have to get the outcomes we want. But we need to engage in what those outcomes are. Do we want quick turnover for local businesses? Do we want employee parking? Do we want people to shift modes and actually not be driving as much? I mean, this is a conversation that I look forward to having as a community, because that's what's going to govern how we intervene and the kind of the kind of approach that we take. I would believe that there's, and I've said this publicly before, so I don't think I'm getting myself in an increased trouble. But we don't necessarily have a supply problem, and with some exceptions around events, we probably have a management problem, and so we just need to get across what those outcomes are. And we had anticipated doing that this year, and I can't promise that's going to be on the docket given all the other stuff we're dealing with right now. But greatly appreciate the question.
Okay, thank you.
It is that time, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much, John Morrow. As usual, it's just a pleasure to have you in the studio